This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's Morning News with Ron Stutz begins now.
Good morning. It is 8:08, 8 minutes after 8 o'clock at WCHL. 75 degrees, partly sunny today. 30% chance of a scattered shower or thunderstorm this afternoon. High today in the low 90s. Once again, a hot, muggy day. A Chapel Hill man was hit yesterday while biking on North Fordham Boulevard near the Estes Drive intersection. Donald Holloway, 75 years old, was knocked off his bicycle at 4:48 p.m. by a truck hauling a trailer with a heavy piece of equipment on it. According to Sergeant Donnie Rhodes of the Chapel Hill Police Department, the piece of equipment hit Holloway, catapulting him over his handlebars. The truck driver didn't realize that Holloway had been hit and continued to drive until police later stopped him. The driver also said he thought Holloway was a pedestrian and didn't realize he was riding a bicycle. Holloway, who was wearing his helmet at the time of the accident, was transported to UNC hospitals. Sergeant Rhodes said he believes he did not sustain life-threatening injuries. The incident caused the right lane of Fordham Boulevard to be closed off, and traffic was backed up for about an hour yesterday afternoon. Elected officials in Chapel Hill, Carborough, and Orange County are closer than ever to finding a way to bring sewer service to the residents of the Rogers-Eubanks Road neighborhood, but a recently launched federal investigation could bring that progress to a halt. WCHL's Elizabeth Friend has the story.
Orange County Commissioner Penny Rich says she's worried that a year and a half of work by the Rogers Road Task Force might be grinding to a halt as the Environmental Protection Agency launches an investigation into claims that the County Planning Department engaged in racial discrimination.
I'm a little concerned about it. I think that we are going to still move forward with recommendations. I think Carborough and Chapel Hill can keep moving forward. Orange County, on the other hand, might have to stop.
After decades of discussion and dozens of reports, plans, work groups, and task forces, elected officials from the towns and county are on the cusp of creating a cost-sharing plan that would extend Owassa sewer service to Rogers Road. The traditionally low-income African-American neighborhood straddling Chapel Hill, Carborough, and Orange County that's hosted the landfill since 1972. The sewer project is part of a landfill remediation plan that's estimated to cost approximately $6 million. The Carborough aldermen say they'll contribute nearly $1 million. The Chapel Hill Town Council wants to explore extending extraterritorial jurisdiction to the neighborhood to make it easier to spend municipal tax dollars on the Rogers Road sewer project. But Orange County commissioners, who up until now have led the charge to make amends for the landfill, are keeping quiet. That's because the EPA recently declared it has jurisdiction to launch a federal investigation into allegations that the County Planning Department and Owassa discriminated against the largely African-American community by failing to provide water and sewer service to Rogers Road. Rich says the county commissioners can't take action on the task force's recommendations until the investigation is concluded.
We actually need to be very careful with how we move forward with this. We know that it could take months, up to a year or more, for this investigation to be complete.
At stake could be a federal grant of $1.3 million awarded to bring sewer service to the Eflin and Buckhorn communities in western Orange County. The complaint filed by the Rogers-Eubanks Neighborhood Association, or RENA, alleges that the county's failure to apply for similar grants to fund the Rogers Road sewer extension amounts to intentional discrimination. The Eflin-Buckhorn sewer grant was awarded to the county in December 2010. At that time, there was not a concerted effort underway by the towns and county to bring sewer service to Rogers Road. The current task force didn't get its start until 2012, when the county commissioner's decision to close the landfill spurred action on a remediation plan. The EPA's announcement that it was launching the investigation this June took many by surprise, including those who originally filed the complaint against the county in 2007. That complaint was expanded in 2011 following the allocation of the Eflin-Buckhorn grant money. Up until recently, Mark Dorson was the lead attorney representing RENA. He says the federal agency took so long to respond to the allegations that RENA leaders thought the complaint had been abandoned.
The EPA complaint was just sort of out there for a long time without any sort of information or feedback as what was happening. They collected some information, and then it was just, you know, folks just didn't hear anything.
In the meantime, Dorson was elected to the Orange County Board of Commissioners, one of the three local governments responsible for funding the sewer extension. At the board's last meeting in June, Dorson put forward a resolution pledging the county to provide funding for the yet-to-be-determined sewer plan. The motion failed in a 5-2 vote, in part because other commissioners were wary of taking action during the ongoing investigation. Speaking at the June meeting, Commissioner Alice Gordon argued against the resolution.
The county attorney has advised the commissioners to exercise significant restraint in authorizing expenditures in this area. I think we're much better positioned there. We just let it go forward. the task force is meeting.
Since then, Dorson says he's decided to recuse himself from deliberations that involve the EPA's investigation. He says he's also stepped away from his role as RENA's legal counsel.
I have now withdrawn as legal representative of RENA with regards to that complaint because obviously I would have a conflict representing RENA and being on the county commissioners. So I've also recused myself from the commission on any discussion or matters or any information or meetings related to that so that there can't be any concerns about actual or potential conflicts of interest.
But Dorson hopes the work of the current Rogers Road Task Force can continue.
It's good public policy for us to provide those promised services and benefits to that community. You know, I hope I can continue to be an advocate for that. I think that's in not just in the best interest of Rogers Road, I think it's in the best interest of all of Orange County that we, you know, honor those commitments and address the harms and the impacts that that community suffered.
The task force is set to meet on Wednesday. It's the next to the last meeting of the group, and elected officials are hoping to come up with solid recommendations to take back to each governing body in the fall. While Chapel Hill and Carrboro may be ready to take action after the summer break, Orange County leaders could have their hands tied for the foreseeable future. Penny Rich has served on the task force, first as a Chapel Hill Town Council member and now as a county commissioner. She says she wants to make sure that the remediation efforts don't lose momentum while the EPA conducts its investigation.
We can talk and talk and talk, but it's not until we take action that it feels like it's really happening. And my hope is that the investigation goes quickly, and we can move forward with some action to help the neighborhood that has not been helped for so many years.
The task force meets at 4 o'clock Wednesday at the Solid Waste Administration Center on Eubanks Road. Elizabeth Friend, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Each day brings new aspiring town leaders into the race, with only a few days left for potential candidates to file to run in this year's municipal elections. WCHL's Aaron Keck has the latest on what's happening in Chapel Hill.
Lauren Hintz is the former chair of the town's transportation board and currently a Chapel Hill High School teacher. He filed to run for town council in Chapel Hill this week. 4 seats are available. He's the 7th candidate to file this year. Hintz also worked on the Chapel Hill 2020 initiative and currently serves on Orange County's Commission for the Environment. He says his diverse job experience gives him exceptional insight into the inner workings of Chapel Hill.
Through the boards of the town and serving with the county and then also being a school teacher, I feel like I understand 3 levels of government in the area and would be able to help address a lot of the issues that need addressing in Chapel Hill.
As a board member, Hintz says he would like the council to be more active and work more on recommendations from Chapel Hill's various boards, harkening back to his own experience with transportation.
I felt that they did listen. Bigger issue was often there was a very long time in bringing action.
In the future, Hintz says he sees Chapel Hill's main challenge as a struggle to preserve its current quality.
Associated with that are maintaining our transportation infrastructure, addressing the budget, especially with the state and federal government reducing funding for local government. It's going to be more and more difficult for us to provide the services that we need to do.
The other town council candidates so far are Gary Kahn, Maria Palmer, Paul Nebe, George Cianciolo, and incumbents Ed Harrison and Sally Green. The other two incumbents, Lauren Eastham and Gene Peace, have announced they will not be running for re-election. Election day this year is November 5th. The last day to file for municipal or school board office is this Friday at noon. Aaron Keck, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
And in Hillsboro, Megan Leela Carmichael has filed to run for a seat in the town's Board of Commissioners. She's the 3rd candidate for 2 open seats. Both of the incumbents have announced that they will not be seeking re-election. Chapel Hill's Jacqueline Zinn died at her home on Tuesday morning after a battle with cancer. Jacqueline Zinn was a highly visible business success as an executive for Burroughs Wellcome and then GlaxoSmithKline. She graduated cum laude from Duke and received her MBA from Kenan Flagler Business School before her career in the pharmaceutical industry. She and her husband, Doug Zinn, have lived here in Chapel Hill and have been very prominent supporters of the arts. A Christian burial mass will be held at 10 a.m. on Saturday at St. Thomas More Catholic Church. Jackie Zinn, dead at the age of 56. Her full obituary can be seen on chapelboro.com. WCHL News Time, 8:17, 17 minutes after 8 o'clock. Time now for traffic and weather together. Traffic brought to you this morning by Five Guys Burgers and Fries. Nothing beats Five Guys hand-formed patties of fresh ground beef piled high with any or all of 15 free toppings, plus their fresh-cut Idaho fries. Five Guys, Manamata Village in Chapel Hill. Now with your morning traffic, here's Rand Northam.
Thank you very much, Ron. A major slowdown and a major delay on I-40 westbound right now. Actually, I-40 westbound right at the Durham Freeway is closed to westbound traffic due to a car fire. Lots of fire trucks out there tending to that issue. It's causing delays on I-40 eastbound as well as you approach the Durham Freeway. So if you can exit early and find an alternate route around that area, again, right around the Durham Freeway, and again, it's eastbound and westbound as people are slowing down to take a look at that fire, but the accident and fire of the car is on the westbound side. So use extreme caution as you approach that area. Could be some quick stops that catch you off guard, and there are many delays there as well. It's causing backups not only on I-40 eastbound and westbound, but also on the Durham Freeway. So use caution in that area. And again, if you can exit early, get off there and avoid that area, please try to do so. That will help everyone out, not just yourself as well. Otherwise, things are moving smoothly. If you see anything as you travel throughout the rest of the day, be sure to give us a call, and you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. 919-967-8363 is the number to call. You can also tweet us at WCHL. And as always, we ask that you do that safely.
Thank you, Rand Northam.
Thank you.
WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough Weather brought to you this morning by Grimble Jewelers. Go see Berkeley Grimble and talk to him about an engagement ring if you've had that on your mind for a while, or that custom piece you've been dreaming of. Grimble Jewelers is always there for you. Grimble's Chapel Hill's premier full-service jeweler, right next door to Whole Foods in the Village Plaza on Elliott Road in Chapel Hill. It is 75 degrees in Chapel Hill right now, 74 in Carborough, 75 in Hillsborough, partly sunny, 30% chance of a shower and or thunderstorm in the afternoon. Hot and muggy. High today in the low 90s. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low around 72. Still 30% chance of rain. Tomorrow, a little less of a chance of rain, 20%. High tomorrow in the low 90s. And a low tomorrow night, again, in the low 70s.
Wake up with Ron Stutz. And remember that we're your station for Carolina. Uniquely qualified to bring you the Tar Heels. This is 97.9 FM. WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's News, Talk, and Tar Heel Station. Good morning.
Good morning. It is 8:19, 19 minutes after 8 o'clock at WCHL. We never like to hear that North Carolina is being viewed in a negative light nationally, overshadowing the progressive efforts we've made locally. Recently, however, it seems our state cannot stay out of the spotlight, and for reasons many are not pleased about. WCHL's Rachel Nash spoke with expert on public opinion statistics, Chapel Hillian Tom Jensen, to talk about how this negative attention could affect life in North Carolina.
Getting made fun of on The Daily Show, getting made fun of on Colbert, that sort of thing. You combine that with a sort of more serious getting chided by The New York Times. Seems like every week there's a new thing getting a lot of attention, where people outside the state are really sort of making fun of North Carolina.
Jensen, a public policy polling in Raleigh, fears that this negative press, sparked by policies rolling through the Republican-led General Assembly this session, will hurt the state's business climate. The New York Times published an editorial last week on the state's policies with the headline reading, "The Decline of North Carolina."
Ultimately, if you get a reputation sort of as a yokel state where the government's kind of crazy and that sort of thing, that's bad for business recruitment. It makes businesses not want to move here and create jobs in the state.
Last year, North Carolina was ranked number 4 on CNBC's America's Top States for Business, but fell out of the list in 2013, dropping 8 spots to number 12. North Carolina had previously been on the list each year since it was started in 2007.
I think that's one of the first signs that people outside of North Carolina sort of are waking up to the fact that the state's getting very extreme. And that particular thing's been in the news a lot over the last couple of weeks. I think that may be part of why you see the Republicans' poll numbers getting so bad.
Jensen explains unhappiness over the abortion restrictions bill pushed through the Senate and then the House in a less than transparent manner seems to be driving the voters' disapproval of Republican lawmakers. Jensen says there's also been a major shift in voters' opinion of North Carolina Governor Pat McCrory.
This is the first time we've ever found Pat McCrory with a negative approval rating. Only 40% of voters approve of the job he's doing, 49% disapprove. And that's a net 15-point decline just from last month.
The numbers suggest that the Moral Monday protest against the regressive policies of the General Assembly are effective in the eyes of North Carolinians. 45% of voters have a favorable opinion of the demonstrations, whereas only 40% disapprove, according to Jensen. The protests have caught the attention of national media outlets such as MSNBC, Fox News, and CNN, who have sent camera crews to cover the weekly peaceful rallies that have resulted in more than 800 arrests.
Nothing like this has ever happened in North Carolina. I think we've always been thought of as a pretty centrist but forward-moving state that, especially more than other states in the South, has been willing to move forward on key issues. And what's happened over the last 2.5 years, but especially just over the last 6 months, is something that's very new for us.
The 2012 election saw the first time in 140 years that Republicans controlled the governor's mansion and both chambers of the General Assembly. But Jensen says this could change with the next election.
And when he asked people if there was a legislative election today, what party would you vote for? Democrats have a 9-point lead at 51-42, which is the biggest lead we've ever found for them on that measure.
To view the full report by Public Policy Polling, you can read this article on our website, chapelboro.com. Rachel Nash, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
It's 8:23, 23 minutes after 8 o'clock, WCHL. Time now for WCHL Championship Sports, brought to you this morning by Fitch Lumber and Hardware in Carborough. Good morning, I'm Ron Stutz. Last week on the grid, we heard from East Chapel Hill High's head football coach, Jonathan Sherman, as his team prepares for the 2013 football season. In this edition of our high school football preview series, WCHL's Matt Oakes got a chance to hear from the players themselves. Sophomore quarterback Connor Stowe was proud of his ability to guide his team to the playoffs the first time in a long while last season, and Stowe says he's looking forward to the 2013 campaign for a number of reasons.
Yeah, I think so. We got a good team together, and we're all close, and that's what we want. We want a good team chemistry and like a family-type bond.
Stowe says he believes his Wildcats have a lot of motivation to play hard this coming season. In fact, he says he and his teammates have something to prove.
Being a 4A school, kind of big time, we just want to go out there, compete, because we haven't been the highest or strongest type team out there, and we just want to go out there and prove to everybody that we're something.
Chris Alston is a senior defensive lineman. He chimes in on what gets him so fired up to play.
Probably be Friday nights, you know, putting on the pads, getting ready to, especially for home games, homecoming, and I love hitting. That's one of my best memories.
Alston highlights what really sets Coach Sherman apart from most other coaches, getting dirty.
To me, it's his energy and passion. Just, 2 weeks ago, we were doing a tire pull, and me and him went up against each other. And, you know, most coaches wouldn't do that, but he got in there and got dirty, and it was fun.
Senior running back Colby Owens doesn't hesitate when asked about his favorite memory of playing at East Chapel Hill. He says that's easy. Owens scored the game-winning touchdown in the final regular season game of 2012 to book his team spot in the state playoffs. Owens says football is really a family affair.
My dad does a good job at that, and my grandfather, which he's like, my whole team knows him. He's crazy. He, like, walks down the field, and he always tells me to hit people hard. So I guess I just got to hit them hard to make them happy.
You can view this and all our stories in the Grid series on our website at chapelboro.com. Explosive sophomore Tar Heel receiver Quinshon Davis was named to the 2013 Biletnikoff Award watch list on Tuesday. It's certainly a positive sign that Davis has been tabbed for such a prestigious award on the offensive side of the ball, as so much of the up-tempo offensive success for the Tar Heels will hinge on the sure hands of wide receivers like Davis. The Biletnikoff Award recognizes the most outstanding receiver in all of college football. The award recipient is selected by the Biletnikoff Award National Selection Committee. That's a group of more than 200 prominent college football journalists, commentators, and former receivers. Davis had an electrifying freshman season in Chapel Hill. He racked up 776 receiving yards on 61 catches. Both tallies set freshman records for Carolina. In fact, his 61 reception total was good for second all-time for freshmen in Atlantic Coast Conference history. That's a quick look at WCHL Championship Sports. Good morning, I'm Ron Stutz.
Our Chansky Sports Notebook, exclusively on 97.9 FM WCHL.
Some items you may not know about Carolina's Matt Harvey. This is our Chansky with Wednesday Sports Notebook. One thing many people outside of Chapel Hill may not know about Matt Harvey, who started last night's All-Star game for the National League, is that Harvey went to UNC. His college career, compared to what he is doing in his first full season in the major leagues, was mediocre. He leads the NL in strikeouts, yet finished only with the 9th most Ks in Tar Heel history and the 10th most wins. You may not know that Harvey really did not want to go to college. His dream was to get to the big leagues as fast as possible after starring for Fitch High School in Groton, Connecticut. But drafted in the 3rd round by the LA Angels, Harvey and his family set a number for the signing bonus they wanted. And when the Angels would not pay it, he came to Chapel Hill. For most of his college career, he acted and played like he did not want to be here. His mechanics went south and was only an average pitcher by Carolina standards, compiling a career record of 22-7 and pitching only 238 innings in 3 seasons. His game began to come back after spending 2 summers in the competitive Cape Cod League in Massachusetts. He returned to form and pitched much better in his 3rd and last season at UNC, after which he was drafted in the 1st round by the New York Mets. He finally got the signing bonus he wanted. Harvey is now the scourge of New York, nicknamed the Real Deal or the Dark Knight of Gotham. Every time he starts for the mediocre Mets, attendance at Citi Field and TV ratings soar. Fans have dubbed it Matt Harvey Day because he's so dominant on the mound with a fastball that approaches 100 miles an hour and 3 other pitches that constantly baffle opposing batters. But there is even more to Matt Harvey than a strapping 6'4", 24-year-old fireballing phenom. He's pitching in the perfect place, comfortable in a New York City he's visited hundreds of times as a kid. He's already posed nude in ESPN the magazine's annual body issue and appeared in a New York Post spread with his Russian supermodel girlfriend. His bit on the Jimmy Fallon show this week has torn up YouTube. Harvey walking around New York with a microphone and camera and asking people what they think of Matt Harvey. Google it for some real laughs. For sure, the once reluctant superstar, Harvey is finally where he always thought he'd be. This is Art Chansky. See ya.
I'm Gerald LeMoyne, General Manager of Performance Subaru in Chapel Hill. I talk a lot about the performance promise, so I want to clearly define what that means. Number one, value. We will do whatever it takes to earn and keep your business. Case in point, 2013 Subaru leases start at $159 per month, such as a 2013 Subaru Impreza 2.0i. Wow! With interest rates as low as 0% for up to 60 months on select 2013 Subarus, July is truly a month to add a Subaru to your family. Number two, service. I'm not just talking about run-of-the-mill customer service. I'm talking about customer enthusiasm. Number three, people. Our staff is dedicated to earning your respect, your loyalty, and most of all, your enthusiasm. Visit our virtual showroom at performancesubaru.com.
D3569, DJA01, 36-month lease with 10,000 miles per year. $25.99 total due at signing. Includes $500 lease cash and zero security deposit based on MSRP of $18,665 and selling price of $17,999. Financing with approved credit. See dealer for details. Take delivery before July 30th, 2013.
Subaru offers one of the most fuel-efficient all-wheel vehicles in America. Test drive yours today at Performance Subaru in Chapel Hill.
So why wait? It's Christmas in July.
Today's offer at OurLocalDeal.com is from Recharge Pilates and Bar. It's 72% off, $54 for 3 bar classes, available now for $15. Core bar classes are different from any fitness routine you've ever done, fusing elements of cardio, yoga, and weight training classes that tone and shapes your body. With today's deal, get 3 core bar classes or choose from any of the 23 classes they offer, including Pilates and Power Yoga. It's 72% off from Recharge Pilates and Bar. It's available for a limited time, so buy it now at OurLocalDeal.com.
It's 8:30, WCHL's Chapel Hill Carpenter weather, 75 degrees. Look for a high today in the low 90s, 30% chance of a shower or a thunderstorm in the afternoon. This hot, muggy weather will continue pretty much all week. Get ready for another one today.
Chapelboro.com is more of what you live here for. If it's happening where you live, you can find it on 97.9 FM, WCHL's website, Chapelboro.com.
CBS News Update, I'm Heather Bosch. Heat wave.
By the time I get to work, I'm already exhausted just from the commute. The heat is brutal.
Hot and humid in parts of the country, including the Northeast. The heat overwhelming emergency services in New York.
We were not prepared for today's heat wave. We should have had more ambulances and more EMTs assigned to work.
Councilwoman Christine Quinn's intern passed out and waited half an hour for an ambulance.
The scorching temperatures are even affecting major roads. Two lanes of the LIE had to be shut down last night because the heat was causing the pavement to buckle.
WCBS's Catherine Brown on Long Island. Why so hot? KYW meteorologist Kate Bylow in Philadelphia.
This is a ridge of high pressure that's usually in the southern plains this time of the year. There's a storm there. The ridge has nowhere to go but here, and it's not moving, at least for the next several days. We'll pump in more moisture from the Gulf of Mexico as well. When we pump in that humidity, heat index values will soar.
CBS News Update, I'm Heather Bosch.
Couldn't start a new addition to your home without the right tools. And if you're growing your small business, the right tools are essential to success. At the UPS Store, we have a small business growth toolkit that includes posters, flyers, brochures, a large retractable banner, and more. What's in your small business toolkit? Ask about our small business growth toolkit today at the UPS Stores, your go-to source for your to-do list.
The UPS Stores at Meadowmont, Chapel Hill North, and on Fordham Boulevard, next to the Chapel Hill University Inn.
If you're looking for the kind of primary care you deserve, join the all-new Duke Integrative Primary Care Practice. For a modest annual fee, you will have expert physicians who give you all the time you need to discuss all the health concerns you have, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. To learn more or attend a free information session, visit DukeIntegrativeMedicine.org. Duke Integrative Primary Care, transforming your health and your life. Only minutes from Chapel Hill, open to all and now accepting insurance.
This hour of the morning news is presented by Durham Tech Community College. Want a head start on college or career skills? A great opportunity awaits you at Durham Tech. Online at durhamtech.edu.
You're listening to 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. Now, back to the WCHL Morning News with Ron Stutz.
Good morning. It is 8:33, 27 minutes until 9 o'clock at WCHL. 76 degrees in Chapel Hill. Partly sunny today. 3 chances out of 10. We'll get some showers and or thunderstorms in the afternoon. Our high temperature today in the low 90s. All that means we're going to have a really hot, muggy day. A Chapel Hill man was hit by a truck yesterday while biking on North Fordham Boulevard near the Estes Drive intersection. And Donald Holloway, 75, was knocked off his bike at 4:48 p.m. by a truck hauling a trailer with a heavy piece of equipment on it. According to Sergeant Donnie Rhodes at the Chapel Hill Police Department, the piece of equipment hit Holloway, sending him over his handlebars. The truck driver didn't realize that Holloway had been hit and continued to drive until police later stopped him. The driver also said he thought Holloway was a pedestrian and didn't realize he was riding a bike. Holloway, who was wearing his helmet at the time of the accident, was transported to UNC hospitals. Sergeant Rhodes told WCHL he believed he did not sustain life-threatening injuries. The incident caused the right lane of Fordham Boulevard to be closed off and traffic was backed up for about an hour. Elected officials in Carborough, Chapel Hill, and Orange County are closer than ever to finding a way to bring sewer service to the residents of Rogers Road. But a recently launched federal investigation could bring that progress to a halt. WCHL's Elizabeth Friend has the story.
Orange County Commissioner Penny Rich says she's worried that a year and a half of work by the Rogers Road Task Force might be grinding to a halt as the Environmental Protection Agency launches an investigation into claims that the County Planning Department engaged in racial discrimination.
I'm a little concerned about it. I think that we are going to still move forward with recommendations. I think Carborough and Chapel Hill can keep moving forward. Orange County, on the other hand, might have to stop.
After decades of discussion and dozens of reports, plans, work groups, and task forces, elected officials from the towns and county are on the cusp of creating a cost-sharing plan that would extend Owassa sewer service to Rogers Road, the traditionally low-income African-American neighborhood straddling Chapel Hill, Carborough, and Orange County that's hosted the landfill since 1972. The sewer project is part of a landfill remediation plan that's estimated to cost approximately $6 million. The Carborough aldermen say they'll contribute nearly $1 million. The Chapel Hill Town Council wants to explore extending extraterritorial jurisdiction to the neighborhood to make it easier to spend municipal tax dollars on the Rogers Road sewer project. But Orange County commissioners, who up until now have led the charge to make amends for the landfill, are keeping quiet. That's because the EPA recently declared it has jurisdiction to launch a federal investigation into allegations that the County Planning Department and Owassa discriminated against the largely African-American community by failing to provide water and sewer service to Rogers Road. Rich says the county commissioners can't take action on the task force's recommendations until the investigation is concluded.
We actually need to be very careful with how we move forward with this. We know that it could take months, up to a year or more, for this investigation to be complete.
At stake could be a federal grant of $1.3 million awarded to bring sewer service to the Eflin and Buckhorn communities in western Orange County. The complaint filed by the Rogers Eubanks Neighborhood Association, or RENA, alleges that the county's failure to apply for similar grants to fund the Rogers Road sewer extension amounts to intentional discrimination. The Eflin-Buckhorn sewer grant was awarded to the county in December 2010. At that time, there was not a concerted effort underway by the towns and county to bring sewer service to Rogers Road. The current task force didn't get its start until 2012, when the county commissioner's decision to close the landfill spurred action on a remediation plan. The EPA's announcement that it was launching the investigation this June took many by surprise, including those who originally filed the complaint against the county in 2007. That complaint was expanded in 2011 following the allocation of the Eflin Buckhorn grant money. Up until recently, Mark Dorson was the lead attorney representing RENA. He says the federal agency took so long to respond to the allegations that RENA leaders thought the complaint had been abandoned.
The EPA complaint was just sort of out there for a long time without any sort of information or feedback as what was happening. They collected some information, and then it was just, you know, folks just didn't hear anything.
In the meantime, Dorson was elected to the Orange County Board of Commissioners, one of the three local governments responsible for funding the sewer extension. At the board's last meeting in June, Dorson put forward a resolution pledging the county to provide funding for the yet-to-be-determined sewer plan. The motion failed in a 5-2 vote, in part because other commissioners were wary of taking action during the ongoing investigation. Speaking at the June meeting, Commissioner Alice Gordon argued against the resolution.
The county attorney has advised the commissioners to exercise significant restraint in authorizing expenditures in this area. I think we're much better positioned there. It's just, we just let it go forward. The task force is meeting.
Since then, Dorson says he's decided to recuse himself from deliberations that involve the EPA's investigation. He says he's also stepped away from his role as RENA's legal counsel.
I have now withdrawn as legal representative of RENA with regards to that complaint because obviously I would have a conflict representing RENA and being on the county commissioners. So I've also recused myself from the commission on any discussion or matters or any information or meetings related to that so that there can't be any concerns about actual or potential conflicts of interest.
But Dorson hopes the work of the current Rogers Road Task Force can continue.
It's good public policy for us to provide those promised services and benefits to that community. You know, I hope I can continue to be an advocate for that. I think that's in not just in the best interest of Rogers Road, I think it's in the best interest of all of Orange County that we, you know, honor those commitments and address the harms and the impacts that that community suffered.
The task force is set to meet on Wednesday. It's the next to the last meeting of the group, and elected officials are hoping to come up with solid recommendations to take back to each governing body in the fall. While Chapel Hill and Carrboro may be ready to take action after the summer break, Orange County leaders could have their hands tied for the foreseeable future. Penny Rich has served on the task force, first as a Chapel Hill Town Council member and now as a county commissioner. She says she wants to make sure that the remediation efforts don't lose momentum while the EPA conducts its investigation.
We can talk and talk and talk, but it's not until we take action that it feels like it's really happening. And my hope is that the investigation goes quickly, and we can move forward with some action to help the neighborhood that has not been helped for so many years.
The task force meets at 4 o'clock Wednesday at the Solid Waste Administration Center on Eubanks Road. Elizabeth Friend, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
As heavy rains continue to batter the state, UNC's Hurricane Warning System has been monitoring and predicting storm data with the help of original software developed and hosted by Carolina. The modeling system, ADCIRC, which stands for Advanced Circulation Model, has been developed since the 1990s and used by organizations like FEMA, the United States Coast Guard, and the Army Corps of Engineers since the early 2000s. In order to run, ADCIRC uses computing power provided by UNC Renaissance Computing Institute. Director of the Institute of Marine Sciences, Rick Ludick, developed ADCIRC and says it can be used to track the movement of the ocean from its changes during tides to its behavior during a storm.
Not only does it predict what the ocean does in the water, but it also predicts when the water will come up onto land and flood areas.
ADCIRC was used to track Hurricane Sandy last year and won the Department of Homeland Security Science and Technology Directorate's Impact Award in 2010 and also in 2012. WCHL News Time, 8:41, 19 minutes until 9 o'clock. And we have a very special traffic report this morning on WCHL with Rand Northam. And Rand says there are all kinds of problems out there this morning.
Well, I-40 westbound is still closed at the Durham Freeway. They're trying to get a lane opened up and might get that there, might already have that. So we might see a little bit of traffic moving through that area, but it has been closed due to a car fire. Heavy delays back to North Harrison Avenue. That is 7 miles that the heaviest of delays are. And then moderate delays another 2 miles beyond that back to Trinity Road. That's past the Wade Avenue split. So really all the way into Raleigh we're seeing these delays. Again, from the Durham Freeway where this car fire happened a little while ago. heaviest of delays back 7 miles to North Harrison Avenue, and then moderate delays another 2 miles on that. So that's I-40 westbound. Eastbound is doing better. Still some delays there. If you can avoid that area, please try to do so. And if you can't, then certainly give yourself a little extra time to get where you're going this morning. I-540 approaching I-40 is also delayed right now because there's just nowhere to go with all that traffic on I-40 westbound. So use some caution this morning. Give yourself some extra time to get where you're going if that is part of your route. And otherwise, things moving okay. If you see anything, though, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior by calling 919-967-8363, or you can tweet us at WCHL.
All right, we wanted to get that traffic report on a little bit early because it is a dire situation out there. Rand, thank you so much.
Thank you.
WCHL's Chapel Hill Cover Weather brought to you this morning by Dickie's Barbecue Pit. Step in for a quick lunch today and select from 8 juicy smoked meats and fresh sides. All delicious. Dickie's Barbecue Pit in Durham up Mount Moriah Road. We're going to tell you more about Dickie's coming up in just a few minutes here. And partly sunny today, 75 degrees, scattered showers and thunderstorms, mainly in the afternoon. Our high today in the low 90s, chance of rain is 30%. It's another muggy day, low tonight about 72. And the high tomorrow, more of the same, low 90s, chance of showers and or thunderstorms.
I'm Edward Holmes, president of Cruisers Convenience Marketplace. Convenience store coffee is known for being convenient, but at Cruisers it also tastes great. Our Beans Cafe coffees are made from fresh brewed Arabica beans. Choose from light or dark roast and flavored coffees to suit your taste. We're sure you'll love our coffee, we guarantee it. If you're not happy, simply let us know and we'll give you your money back and brew you a fresh cup. Fresh, fast, and great tasting coffee, guaranteed only at Cruisers.
Cruisers, good to go.
Literally thousands of rings on sale this weekend at Diamonds Direct Crabtree. Get unbelievable sale prices on all rings this weekend only. All wedding bands, all anniversary bands, all designer engagement ring mounting, three stone rings, special pricing across the board. Plus, ring designers are here from New York showcasing all the latest styles and all on sale. Don't miss the extra savings at Diamonds Direct's largest ever ring event. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at Diamonds Direct Crabtree on Glenwood across from Fleming's.
It's not too soon to make plans for enrolling at the Orange County campus at Durham Tech, your hometown college in Hillsboro. Hi, this is Penny Gluck, Executive Dean of Durham Tech's Orange County campus, here to tell you that registration for fall classes starts this month. So act now by getting your or your child's transfer or high school transcript together. Then set up a time to visit our Orange County campus in Hillsboro to sign up for our high-demand classes before they fill up. Find out more at durhamtech.edu and click on the Orange County campus.
I moved here a few years ago and discovered UNC Family Medicine. I love that the doctors are up to date on the latest medical developments. I love the easy parking. And most of all, I love that my husband and my kids also go to UNC Family Medicine. The reassurance of knowing they are available by email or by phone, the knowledge they are among the best family medicine departments in the country, means I have peace of mind about our health care.
Find out more at uncfamilymedicine.org. UNC Family Medicine is caring for the course of your life.
Summer is finally here, and it's time for that well-deserved family vacation. The road is calling, and right now at Performance BMW, you can get exceptional offers, such as financing as low as 0.9% for up to an unbelievable 72 months on select certified pre-owned models, while other financing options are as low as 2.9% for up to 72 months, such as the 2010 BMW 328i for $384 per month.
Wow!
At Performance BMW, your options are virtually limitless. Performance BMW is known for the promise and the wow. The promise is your guarantee you'll always receive extraordinary service from expertly trained people, all for a superb value. Visit PerformanceBMWChapelHill.com where you can also read customer comments about their award-winning service. BL1853. 72-month purchase at 2.9% APR. $2,500 due at signing excludes tax, tag, and 549 dock fee. Based on selling price of $27,861. Financing with approved credit through BMW FS on select models for specified terms. See dealer for details. Take delivery before June 30th, 2013. Certified pre-owned BMWs come with a protection plan for up to 6 years or 100,000 miles from the original purchase date. BMW is the ultimate driving machine. 2013 Center of Excellence and Volume Leader.
Good morning. It is 8:46, 14 minutes until 9 o'clock at WCHL. Commentary on the way from Ellie Kinnaird this morning, and D.G. Martin also will check in a few minutes. Right now, Greg Wallachuk is here from Dickie's Barbecue Pit. Greg, how you doing?
Hey, excellent, Ron. How you doing?
Just fantastic. I want you to know I appreciate that food you sent over yesterday. You wanted us to sample that new sandwich, and it's fantastic.
Excellent. So you guys like the racetrack?
Yeah, yeah. Tell us about the racetrack. What is that exactly?
It's made with chopped brisket, pulled pork, our tangy barbecue sauce, pickles, onions, and, of course, topped with slaw.
Yeah, and of course, your sides are so fantastic. I especially love the fried okra.
you know, I figured we'd bring that in. Okra sometimes doesn't travel that well, but we made it real fresh. Got it here, you know, in a special little kit for you. Keep it fresh and crisp.
Well, folks can come by and have lunch or dinner, and they can also do takeout. I understand you guys do all that quite well.
Absolutely. Matter of fact, this weekend, talking about takeout, we're going to be down at the Cocoa Booth Amphitheater for the Robert Plant Show.
Ah, fantastic.
Yeah, and we do a couple things. We have a drop-off service called Picnic in the Park, so you can order in advance, and we'll bring it to the show. And we also have a food tent there.
Wow, that's fantastic. Well, Dickie's Barbecue Pit, in case you have not been there, is between Chapel Hill and Durham, right there at Mount Moriah Road in Chapel Hill. I call it Chapel Hill, just a little north of Chapel Hill.
Exactly, and real easy to get to, in and out, and we got a nice little traffic light to help speed you on the way back out from lunch.
I know that you have had tremendous success so far, and tell us about your, take 30 seconds if you would, and tell us about Dickie's Barbecue Pit and what it offers for everybody.
You know, we have something for everybody. We have the Kids Eat Free on Sunday, so it's one paying adult per kid's meal that you get free. We have catering and takeout, whether it's a box lunch, full service. Matter of fact, we have a couple weddings we're catering full service this weekend. We've got a car dealership that's celebrating their anniversary. They're having 150 people that we're going to be catering for. So whether it's simple, fancy, backyard cookouts, we'll definitely have that for you. And even vegetarians. It's funny. I met a person the other day. Their husband loves to go to Dickie's. She's never been there. And I said, why not? She said, well, I'm a vegetarian. And we talked about our Giant Stuffed Bakers. So there's a reason anybody can go there.
Yeah. And there's something there for the whole family. And you already talked about being kid-friendly and really inexpensive for the children to eat. So Dickie's Barbecue Pit is really the great place to go. And we hope you will try it soon. If you haven't already, you got lots of satisfied customers.
Absolutely.
And Greg, we always appreciate your coming in. And have a great day over there. Sounds like you're going to be busy coming up this weekend.
Absolutely, Ron. Well, we appreciate it, and congrats on your 36 years.
Hey, well, thanks. Thanks. I appreciate it. And it'll be, before you know it, Dickie's Barbecue Pit will have been at that location for 36 years.
That'll be awesome.
And you'll still be there running it. Hey, thanks a lot. It's 8:49 at WCHL, 11 minutes until 9 o'clock. Good morning.
And now, WCHL presents The Commentators.
This is Ellie Kinnaird. Commentary on Moral Mondays. So much to write about and where to start. So much of the work of the legislature is done in the offices, halls, and closed doors of the leadership. When the Moral Monday started, my reaction and others was, this is meaningless, irrelevant, and won't help in the legislative process to get bills passed or defeated or even at best improved until they don't cause so much damage. We saw it as a diversion in our quest for negotiations. Furthermore, after ignoring the Moral Monday gatherings, the media decided to cover it as a circus. But as we saw the crowds grow and respected people like clergy, doctors, educators, CEOs of nonprofits, and others put themselves on the line to be arrested, everyone realized this was a real growing people's movement. And each week, the Republican legislature handed the crowds another outrage for their bully pulpit. Deny Medicaid to 500,000 North Carolinians, reduce unemployment benefits, and eventually cut all benefits off for 70,000 long-term unemployed. Craft a tax reform plan that gives breaks to the wealthiest and out-of-state corporations while raising taxes on 80% of everyone else. And each week, the crowd has grown, angry but well-mannered and respectful. In fact, it has a joyful, celebratory feeling. The governor, who was not from North Carolina but Ohio, declared they were outsiders. Sounds like the civil rights days? But a team of UNC scientists did a survey and found that 90% are North Carolinians. That made for great signs, all of which are clever and hard-hitting. A senator called the gatherings Moron Mondays and ridiculed the Reverend Barber, and the crowds grew bigger. Then they attacked the women. You should have seen the sea of pink on the mall. And to show you the power of Moral Mondays, the governor and the Senate and House leadership scheduled the rollout of their tax reform the same time as the Moral Monday gathering. Maybe to preempt the Moral Monday headlines? This is Ellie Kinnaird.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue. The Commentators, local people, local issues, on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Good morning, it is 8:51, 9 minutes until 9 o'clock at WCHL.
Now on WCHL, a page from D.G. Martin's notebook.
I want to do something, but something besides Moral Mondays. A friend of mine was asking what he could do to stop what the New York Times called last week a demolition derby in the state legislature. but my friend is not ready to join the regular protest at the legislature or to be arrested. He wanted other options. Whom should I talk with, he asked. Legislators, their aides? How can I persuade them to change directions? Well, I responded, you probably can. At this stage, stop that demolition derby. It's far too late in the legislative session. And even if the ghost of Ronald Reagan appeared and attempted to turn this legislature around, he would be met with deaf ears. The Republican legislators ran for election on a platform of smaller government, reduced spending, and lowering taxes for businesses and the wealthy. And nothing is going to get in the way of their implementing those plans. I did give my friend some ideas about visiting legislators on their home turf and coming up with some ideas about working with some of them to save programs that were at risk but had some support in the current legislature, like the funding for classroom aides, which is at risk. But he said, I want to stand up against that demolition derby. I want to be heard. In fact, it is the duty of each one of us as a concerned citizen to speak up. One option is the old standard of writing a letter to the editor or doing a commentary on WCHL. And today we can email copies of any letter we write to lots of people, all our friends list and email contacts. But more importantly, it is not too early to begin preparing for the election next year. Knowing, though, that replacing any current legislator would be a formidable task. The current district alignments give an overwhelming advantage to incumbents of both parties. Many believe that the current legislative scheme assures Republicans of control of the legislature for many, many years. But even when the odds are stacked against a legislative candidate, a campaign can be useful to mobilize and develop political organizations for future use, and also to discuss and debate important issues. And then unexpected opportunities arise. And this year's legislature and its actions have angered a widespread group of people that go far beyond the Democratic base. And so some of the districts that have been considered safe for incumbents may be up for grabs next year. Whatever the prospects for election victories in the near future, people who are concerned with the future of North Carolina should do everything they can to influence good people to take an active role in public life. And finally, one more thing. There is an important nonpartisan issue that should not be neglected during this time. The state needs a nonpartisan redistricting process. Almost nobody opposes this idea. But unless people who feel strongly about this redistricting issue, unless they organize and apply pressure to the General Assembly now and in the next session, nothing is likely to happen. Well, I told my friend, I said, now, if all these ideas I've given you leave you cold, maybe you should think again about whether or not you want to show up on a Moral Monday. This is D.G. Martin.
It is quite an experience, I can tell you that. 855 at WCHL. And if you remember the word of the day from Wayne Pond, call me right now, 919-29-WCHL. Tell me the word, the definition, and the correct spelling, and you can get a $10 gift card to Cruisers.
This is Gerald Ramoyne, General Manager of Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill. We're proud of the performance promise, and we're proud of our community, too. That's why Performance Auto Mall highlights the great community service demonstrated by today's Village Pride Award honoree.
Ruffin Slater is today's WCHL hometown hero. Here's Andy Sachs to tell you why.
Well, Ruffin's general manager of Weber Street Market. He and a handful of friends founded Weber Street Market about 25 years ago, and since then he's kept the co-op going through his good efforts.
Ruffin Slater and his friends were really ahead of their time.
They were getting together and talking about this in 1987, 1988, long before local and healthy and green were as popular as they are today. Really, the idea of Weber Street Market was an alternative, radical idea for this community back then.
It is not easy to do, I'm sure, to keep this food co-op running and growing and getting bigger and better all these years, but I know that he's worked really hard, and it's really affected a lot.
lot of people.
There are over 15,000 consumer owners and 150 worker owners with the co-op, and it's not a one-man show, certainly, and Ruffin would be the first one to tell you that, but I think through his leadership, his visionary leadership, and his careful management, he's really kept the co-op going for these 25 years. You know, they started in Carrboro and opened up a second store in Southern Village, and then a third store in Hillsboro. They have a food house up in Hillsboro where all the prepared foods are made, and the bakery is up there in Hillsboro. And, of course, they have Panzanella Restaurant in Carrboro also. So he's really grown this idea of a local consumer and worker-owned co-op into a very vibrant enterprise.
Ruffin is an entrepreneur, and we talk a lot about that these days, but he has really had a vision, and he stuck to it all this time.
That's exactly right, and that's what's so inspiring to me is that he not only had the vision, he made it happen, and he has sustained it all this time. With other people, certainly, but it's his steady hand, I think, that has kept the co-op going and helped it to grow so much.
Make no mistake about it, Ruffin Slater has had a tremendous impact in our community in a lot of very positive ways.
Weaver Street Market has a community fund and make donations to local nonprofits every year at the annual meeting. That's very exciting. You know, just look at that front lawn any day that the sun is shining and any evening when it's cool enough for people to gather. That front lawn in Carrboro is our town square. It's our Central Park. And I mean, Weaver Street Market through Reference Leadership also has provided local healthy food to the people that live in our community. Really impacted us in numerous ways.
Our thanks to Andy Sachs for the nomination, and hats off to Ruffin Slater, today's WCHL Hometown Hero.
Performance Auto Mall is proud to put today's Village Pride Award honoree in our spotlight. And remember, at Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill, we carry Acura, BMW, Chevrolet, Porsche, and Subaru. But we also have access to nearly 4,000 pre-owned automobiles. At Performance Auto Mall, we can find your next automobile, no matter the brand. We promise.
Congratulations, Mark Glimmerman, have called in with a word of the day. It is carceral, C-A-R-C-E-R-A-L. It means of or relating to or suggesting a jail or a prison. We can all identify with that, right? Mark gets a $10 gift card to Cruisers.
Today's offer at OurLocalDeal.com is from Recharge Pilates and Bar. It's 72% off, $54 for three bar classes, available now for $15. Core bar classes are different from any fitness routine you've ever done, fusing elements of cardio, yoga, and weight training classes that tone and shapes your body. With today's deal, get three core bar classes or choose from any of the 23 classes they offer, including Pilates and Power Yoga. It's 72% off from Recharge Pilates and Bar. It's available for a limited time, so buy it now at OurLocalDeal.com.
Hey, listen, some real problems with traffic this morning on I-40. Two lanes are open now on I-40 westbound. The right lane still closed with major delays. That is westbound on I-40.
Local news all day. Breaking news whenever it happened. This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carrboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
It's 9 o'clock.
Chapel Hill Economic Development. Open for business, to business.